From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show, and good morning on the West Coast, good afternoon on the East. This is, as I said, the Boomer and the Babe Show coming to you from the Feeding Arizona Complex in Youngtown, Arizona, where also the home of the Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View Community Food Bank is going to be moving into their new 36,000 square foot facility, if you can imagine that, a huge Safeway store that has been vacated, and they have taken that over. They're going to have a thrift shop in there. They're also going to have the food bank in there. They're going to have their Feeding Arizona operation in there. It's going to be one big central location. So we're going to be moving our studios in the not too distant future, and we're looking forward to that as well. So we will still be coming from the Valley View Community Food Bank Operations Center, but it may be just at a different location. So with that said, we want everybody to remember that it is a 501c3, and if you're interested in making donations to a good charitable cause in the state of Arizona, please look them up, and they are at valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. Ask for Jesse Ramirez. He'll be able to help you and help you help him, and he'll let you know gladly whatever it is that he may be needing at the time, whether it's food, volunteer hours, or that good old-fashioned folding green American cash. So with that said, we want to get into the Boomer and the Babe Show for the day. We have an outstanding guest with us today. She is an author. She is a sensuality coach, and she has written a book called The Power of Wow, A Guide to Unleashing the Confident, Sexy You. And we also have the confident, sexy Deborah Brown with us today. We've got the babe. She's here today for this special show with Lori Bryant Woolridge. So, Deborah, first, welcome to you back to the Boomer and the Babe Show. Glad to have you
Thank
here.
You. Thank you very much. I heard the word confident, sexy you, and I thought, well, I think I should clear my calendar and get on that call.
There you go.
I'm very glad that I can be here today, and I have been missing our time together on the show, so I'm glad that I can join you with Lori. I think it's awesome.
And Lori, thank you for being with us, and welcome to the Boomer and the Babe Show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to talk to both Boomer and the Babe.
There you go. It's a rarity now lately, Lori. Trust me, it's a rarity. Sometimes people think we are the same person because we're never seen together anymore. So we're going to start with Deborah, as is the tradition when she's here. So Deborah, start us off.
Well, Lori, the first thing that I would like to do, and in addition to welcoming you, of course, is ask you for what I call your two-minute movie. And by that, I mean your life, laser beam style. For 2 minutes, go back as far as you would like and come forward. So, please, your two-minute movie.
Okay. Well, I am, my name is Lori Bryant Woolridge. I am a woman of a certain age, 54 to be exact. And I have lived my life as a sensual youngster, teenager, you know, and now grown up. And it has really informed what I've done through my work all through the beginning to where I am now. I went to grew up on the West Coast, California, where the sun is bright most of the time. And it really informed my five senses and living through them and gave me a real interactive vision of the world I lived in. And then we moved to the East Coast, where the weather is different, but a totally different sensual and sensory experience. And I've taken that part of myself and put it into all my work creatively. I worked for television. My last job in television was about 15 years ago, with the ABC Television Network as a writer, and then eventually an executive producing a show or a campaign on literacy called Project Literacy US. That got me into thinking about writing long form, and it started my novelist career. So I've written 3 novels. My last actual novel was called Weapons of Mass Seduction, and I really wanted to look at how women become sexy, confident women. And I'm a believer in that fiction is one of the best and greatest self-help vehicles that women have. And if you can find yourself in between the pages of a novel with characters you can relate to and some of the problems they're going through, you can find out a lot about yourself. And so with that book, I developed a workshop that the characters took that really looked at how they became these confident, sexy women. And when I was promoting it on shows, like wonderful shows like this, I started getting calls about doing the workshop. And so that kind of broadened my career out into the workshop moderator about this topic. I was bestowed the title of expert, which I don't know what that means, but I can only give you my best advice as it comes from experience, and then getting into the coaching business. So right now I am my latest book, The Power of Wow, A Guide to Unleashing the Confident Sexy You, is a curriculum that I use in my 9-week coaching program under the banner of Stiletto University. And that leads me here to this wonderful show, The Boomer and the Babe.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. And I love the fact that it starts with sensory experiences as your framework or your base starts at that sensory experiences, and really being open to all the things that come at us and around us and taking it in and then using it to our best advantage. I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, this is the way I come to my work is really, I'm saying, part of the writer sensibility, where you're such an observer and tearing things apart so you understand how things work. And I really discovered that my sensory preferences really did inform a great deal who I was as a woman, as an individual. And from that, I learned to become my own woman and to develop that confidence, and a sexy confidence, if you will. And so I really think that it's an important place for all women and all people to start, because when you live through your five senses, it is an amazing way to make you feel like you're living, that you're alive and not just living, that the world becomes interactive, that you become a part of it. And the amazing thing, Deborah, is your happiness quotient rises so quickly and so far when you really are in touch with the beauty around you that you can start doing the hard work, the scary work that comes from unearthing who you are inside.
Right. Well, I'm reminded of some times where, like, my sense of smell will be, for some reason, more key in a particular day, and I will, you know, become aware of a smell around me, and I'll think of something that happened in my past, you know, maybe something family related that makes me happy, you know, and I realize how important that is and how I would miss that if I were to suddenly lose my sense of smell. That would probably take away an awful lot. But I'm wondering if we really do tune into all five of our senses to our best advantage.
I don't think so. I think that, like, your sense of smell is probably the second most powerful that you experience, your first being sight. We see it. We tend to see the world. We tend to look, though, what we do tend to do is to look at the world and not actually see it. But our sense of sight seems to be the most prevalent, how we really interact. Smell is a close second. And as you said, smell becomes a way that we stay in touch with all parts of our world, particularly the memorable parts that make us feel warm and cozy. But taste does the same thing. There's a reason there's a thing called comfort food, you know.
Thank God
yeah,
for comfort
exactly,
food.
Right? But what's really amazing, Deborah, is if you take the time, and the Power of Wow helps you do this, to really break down your sensory preferences, you will learn a great deal about who you are as a person, as a woman. And that's the first step in really beginning your journey of true confidence. And I always like to say, you know, the new year and then the spring, people are always talking about, you know, find the new you, create the new you. And it's not that. It's about creating the true you. And your five senses are an amazing set of foundation blocks to begin with.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you mentioned the sense of taste being the third one. And comfort food in particular. And I'm reminded that Pete and I have a very interesting and special relationship. We've been together 24 years now, and you know, food, frankly, is a very important part of our, you know, how we are with each other. And he fixes most of our food. And it's all about, you know, not only does it taste good, is it making you happy? You know, can I get you some more? I mean, there's a whole, you know, like a little dance around that food
sure.
thing for us. And,
sure.
you know, I'm just wondering if maybe that's part of our confident, sexy, you know, interaction there. Is that possible?
Absolutely. You know, what's really interesting about our relationship with food, we've become a society that really is more about calorie counting and fat content. It's about dieting and nutrition versus the pleasure that food brings. And the fact that you all can interact together over food and cook foods that you enjoy, that you are maybe being adventurous together in the kitchen. All those things tally up into the kind of partnership that makes you amazing in the bedroom. So it's all tied in together, but we have to really understand that pleasure is all around us. Pleasure is free. And with that pleasure, we can bring other people, loved ones, strangers, friends, into our pleasurable world and really interact on a much more lovely, exciting, and true to oneself basis. And that's an amazing thing. You know, I have to say that we are a society that has been, we practice buying our sensual pleasures. You know, if we want a good meal, most people aren't like you and Pete. If they want a sensual meal, they're going to go out and buy it. And that's when they get the pleasure of, you know, food, of the setting, the ambiance that comes with good dining. If they want, you know, that touch, they'll go buy a massage. If they want to really experience the environment around them, they head to the beach or the mountains or something. But with the economy so bad, we don't have that luxury, and we're getting further and further or farther and farther, which everyone, I should know that, right? I'm a writer. away from our sensual selves and that pleasure that just living like that sensually can bring. And it's making us more grumpy and upset and irritated. And there's a quick fix to it. So it's right here in front of us.
I do believe, Lori, that we are becoming a much grumpier society. I had occasion this morning to go out for a moment, and I came by. I had to stop at the post office, and something was going on outside the post office on the side street there. And there were like three cars as I came through the intersection, and these people seemed to be really chapping at each other, you know. And I thought, well, what happened? I had a little fender bender. And all of a sudden, when I came back out of the post office, there's now five cars there, and there's six or seven total people there, and they're all screaming at each other and cursing, and I'm going, my God, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a beautiful 77 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. What the hell can these people possibly be arguing about at that time of day? I don't know if they knew each other or they happenstance to know each other, but it was obviously that they were grumpy. They
yeah.
weren't happy. And I think that happiness or lack of happiness and the grumpiness is real close to the surface with everybody right now.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what, I know we want to move on to something different subject, but I really want to stress the point, because the Power of Wow is really based on this building foundation of living through your five senses. Your sensual living, And one of the things I always have to do at the very beginning is separate people's sensuality from their sexuality, because people think that when it's time to be sensual, it's something they pull out of their sexual trick bag. You know, it's the candles, the perfume, and the soft music and whatever. But it really is living purposely through your five senses. It's the adult pacifier. It is better than a drink. It is better than, you know, going out and getting into mischief and all that, because it's always around you. All we have to do is open up our ears and our eyes and our noses and see and experience the amazing world that we have around us. And I guarantee you, I promise you, if you do that, you will feel less angry, less grumpy, less irritable, but you'll be much more appreciative and grateful and amazed by the wonder that is around us.
Well, I know that's true because, again, in my little journey this morning on the way back from where I was, I drove by a corner where there was a strip of grass, which mm-hmm. not a lot of it here in Arizona, but nonetheless there was a strip of grass, and the maintenance staff was there cutting the grass, and I could actually smell freshly mown grass for the first time in, God, I don't know how long. And I just sat there at that light going, wow, that really smells good. I haven't smelled right. that in a long time. And it reminded me of the times when I was cutting grass as a kid back in Michigan.
Exactly. And those memories made you feel better and made you, you know, happy for that moment. And if we just live like that, if we continue to allow our senses to command our experiences when we're out in the world, you just feel better. And you know what? That's really sexy.
And,
you know,
and
I want
that,
to say something. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
And that aspect of what you're saying, that may be different for a man than it is for a woman, but nonetheless, the basics, I think, are still the same. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I would beg to argue with you that it's different for a man than a woman. I think it's in a lot more ways more important for men to do this because we're the nurturers. We are the ones that are more in touch with it, even though we are not mindful of it. But, you know, when you think about it, when you have bringing a baby into this world, male or female, you do everything that you can to surround them in a central cocoon. There's nothing that you don't feed them that doesn't touch their body, that, you know, they don't hear, that soothing and sensual, and to bring them pleasure and welcome them into this world. And that has nothing to do with sex. Baby boys, baby girls, love it, you know, they respond to it equally. It's just as we begin to grow up and we become very busy and we decide it's more important to be productive than to kind of sit back and smell the roses, that we begin to systematically strip our kids from their sensuality. And then they begin to experience the pleasure of, you know, the physical sensuality and tiptoe into, you know, the touching and their sexuality. And then we as adults, you know, right then and there connect sensual and sexual, and then we begin to poo-poo that with them. And so we really do welcome them with open arms and sensual pleasures and then slowly take it away. So for men, it is just important to recognize the fact that it's okay to want to smell good things and eat good foods and wear fabrics that speak to your you know, your body and skin comfort. So it's good for everybody. And as you know, as Deborah, you said, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's a way for you to connect as a couple through your sensuality, just like Deborah was saying with the cooking. So hard guys that or out there in the rough and tumble, it's a way for you to get back in touch with the beauty in your world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say something about appreciating the wonders around you, which you've now just said, appreciate the beauty in the world and so forth. But some of the other wonders that people can appreciate are, you know, the smiles on other people's faces. And that's one thing about Pete is I can count on, well, I think I'd have to use both hands now since we've been together for 24 years. But, you know, he's just not grumpy very often. You know, he's very, very rarely in a bad mood that shows on his face. He may be worrying about something, but he is a happy guy, you know, seems on the outside anyway. Most of the time, 99.9% of the time, he's got a countenance that is very pleasant. You know, he's just got that kind of face that you just don't see a scowly kind of grumpy old man type of thing. And the other thing, you know, talking about that same thing, which I find much more appealing than, you know, a Brad Pitt, you know, in my midst, you know, with a grumpy face. That would just drive me out of my mind. And grandchildren. You know, we have two beautiful granddaughters, 3 and 6. And, you know, you want to talk about the wonders around you, just watching them play and what they say and the things that they do and so forth. There's just nothing like it. And, you know, you just have to say, what are you closing down if you don't become that sensual person again, you know, open to everything that's around us?
Absolutely.
And the last thing I want to say about that, and then I'll let you talk, of course, is that sense of humor. for me, it's about the sexiest thing going. Because I'm thinking you can have an amazing-looking man or woman who has zero personality, zero sense of humor, and I'm pretty sure that that wears on the other person in the relationship slash non-relationship pretty quickly.
Right. You know what? I love you, Deborah. You have just described the wow factor, you know, and what it really is at its essence. And you, when you pick up and read The Power of Wow, what you'll find is that smiling, laughter, sense of humor are all part of what makes us amazing in our own right. It's what helps build our confidence, and it's what helps with makes us truly sexy. And so, you know, people think that wow, and we all know it when we see it. It's the person that sounds like Pete and yourself, that they walk in the room, and people want to be around them. They may not be the most physically attractive person in the world, in the room, but they command the attention. And that has nothing to do, you're exactly right, it has nothing to do with age, with weight, with, you know, how much hair you have or don't have. It has to do with your energy. And that energy, of that positive energy that comes with a smile, that comes with that welcoming, that comes with that non-judgmental attitude, is what draws people to you. And that's why we all have the power. We all have the wow factor. It's not something that some people get dropped on their porch, you know, and others have to just sit there and go, wow, I want some of that. You know, we all have it. It's inside, but it's about knowing who you are and knowing what your own unique brand of wow is. And that's what makes people really, truly confident and sexy. And so,
the reason this is so important, and your book is so important for people to not only pick up the book, but go to your website, which we'll certainly ask you to give out here in a second, and let people go to your information about your Stiletto U and your 9-week course and all that stuff. Because I am a confident person. I have been forever. I can walk into a room. I can command, you know, with a smile, and I'm an active, interested listener, and, you know, I certainly practice that as a radio talk show host, but also as a friend and as a coach myself and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But, you know, I'm going to have my 59th birthday in August. I can't believe how old I am, and yet I still feel most of the time, you know, 35. Some days mm-hmm. one of my joints is bothering me, but that's just funny. Ha, ha, ha. But, you know, and yesterday I got a haircut, and I said, okay, it's got to be sassy, and, you know,
right.
you know what I'm saying? And But I know that I am confident and I can command a room, and yet I still have the monkeys on the couch in my brain. You know, I call the chatter, and, the, you know, there's a bunch of monkeys jumping on a couch in my head telling me the opposite of what I know
right.
to be true.
Right. And, you know, it's really...
And I just want to hear your thoughts on that, because how do you still the brain, you know, that's just
right.
at you
well,
like that?
It's really interesting because, again, I love you. You bring up all the right stuff, because a lot of people think that women without confidence are the ones that are just cowering in the corner and they're the wallflowers. But they really aren't. I mean, there are some, and through Stiletto U, I deal with all kinds of women with all kinds of demographics and unique thoughts about who they are in the world. But a great majority of women are just like you, just like me, confident women. You know, I like to call them showstoppers. And again, I'm not talking about the sexiest, you know, or the most attractive woman in the room, but they stop the show. People are interested. And people think that we are never, you know, without our confidence. And that's just not true. Because we are part of a world that is always telling us that it's the other stuff that's more attractive. It's the, you know, it's the this particular weight size or the particular hair color or hair length or age demographic or, you know, neighborhood you live in, car you drive, whatever, how petty you want to make it, how superficial you want to make it. That's what we are fed all the time. And as women of a certain age, I'm only 5 years behind you, I absolutely, you know, we are constantly questioning our relevancy, and a lot of times it's our sexual relevancy, and it's hard not to feel like I just don't have it anymore. And that's why it's so important, and what I really tried to nail with the Power Wow is that it is not about what you look like. It's about how you feel and how you interact with the world. And when you look at a Helen Mirren, for example,
right,
you know, who is so amazingly hot and sexy, and I
mean, she's got a rock on, her, as the men would say. You know what I'm saying?
Like
she's
but Derek, you know as well as I do, that rock is held up with a whole lot of hardware that, you know, I don't know about you, but it's like I need to go to Home Depot to check out my lingerie stuff. But, you know, it's the magic of pulleys and bandits and all that stuff. But that's okay. It's the mindset. And we have to understand that our sexual shelf life of as women of a certain age has now been extended way further out because of the little blue pill. And we have to understand that we are sexy and amazing and sexual in our own right as long as we want to go. And it's that use it, you know, if you don't use it, you'll lose it mentality that we have to get rid of. And the idea that because now I'm, you know, if you want to see my boobs, I can pull up my pants leg, you know, that we have to get rid of that mentality that that doesn't make us sexy. And I like to say that we're seasoned and that we are women with a wisdom about sex. The little girls with the better bodies, they don't hold a candle to us because we have lived and gone through the war and understand our bodies and understand who we are. So if you want to be live a juicy life as a boomer, you have to understand that you have every right to, and you are quite capable of. But it's an attitude readjustment, or as I like to call it, changing your sexitude. Change your sexitude, you will change your life in so many ways.
Right.
I just want to interject here real quickly. I'm sitting here very passively and listening and going, right on, right on. Okay. But I must say that you just said something that rang my mental bell. And that is, you said those young gals, you know, you reference them. And I'm thinking to myself, it's a thing where the guys sit around, you know, whether you're sitting around having a beer or you're sitting around at the golf course and, you know, they got the hot chick cart girl, you know, selling and the sandwiches and all they're sitting there going, ah, oh, gah, 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 gah. But the thing of it is, don't try to talk to them. They've got nothing.
Right, exactly. I have to give you a perfect example of that. I was on a cruise with a girlfriend. And men help you be good at what you do. Women make you good at who you are. And understand that your relationships with women are so important. And as our intergenerational relationships, which I think are the fountain of youth. But I was on a cruise with my girlfriend, and there was a beautiful, stunning young lady there that was there with her aunt. And the age thing went around, and people were asking, you know, or guessing age, and they had guessed my age about 6 or 7 years younger than I am. So, you know, I was going to take the compliment. But when it came down to read the menu, I realized if I put on my reading glasses, I was, like, obviously, you know, caught. So, you know, I asked the waiter, I was like, oh, what do you suggest I order? And he came over and read the menu for me, and it was the most amazing thing because she was trying to get their attention all night. And just because of my vanity, I kept his attention. But what was really interesting, and again, I use all these kind of experiences to study and understand. She was a much more attractive young lady than I was in a certain way, but she didn't know how to use what she had to her best benefit. She didn't have the wisdom of self and the confidence to you know, she didn't have the ability to speak and chat and be, you know, charismatic and be interesting. It was just all about my body and how good I look in my clothes. And so we can't sell ourselves short. because we no longer have those perfect bodies. Because when you think back, ladies, you didn't know really what to do with it. You just went along with the program. You know, it kind of you kind of fumbled your way through because you had it. And now, you know, so many more of us are single in our middle age, divorced, widowed, whatever. It's learning how to work what you have to its best benefit. And that's really what the Power Wow teaches you to do, from finding your own charisma to what about your personality makes you hot and sexy. And we all have a different personality. It's the secret sauce to who we are. And so how to use that, how to be charming and flirtatious without looking ridiculous. And really, do you know what that's all about? It's about being benevolent. It's about being interested in somebody else in the room. It's not looking for anything. It's not wanting anything, but giving something. And when you look at that charm and how to flirt from that point of view, you open the door and you're like a magnet. And again, this has been tested throughout with different races, you know, like I said, dress sizes, everything. It works because people are interested in people that are genuinely interested in them.
Lori, no, that's so. Oh my goodness, this is amazing.
That benevolence works. That benevolence works on a personal level, and it also works on a business level. I mean, when you're in a networking situation as a business person, you know, if you're more concerned and more interested in what others are doing and what others are saying and what others are involved in, and you show your benevolent side, chances are that you're going to be much more successful in that business relationship. And the thing is, it holds true across the board in life. The benevolence and the being more concerned about the other person rather than self-promotion all the time is really something that makes the world go around in a much smoother and a more harmonious way, I think.
And that's the beauty of the Power of Wow, is that it's teaching you how to be amazing, being yourself across the board. And it's really teaching you to redefine what sexy is for you. You know, and you're absolutely right, Pete. Being sexy in a boardroom doesn't have anything to do with sexuality and, you know, sexy talk. It's about being confident and open and caring about what the other people want. That's what's really sexy. And it's such a simple idea and such a hard thing to do, because most of us are afraid to be ourselves because we're afraid being ourselves is not enough. It's not good enough. And we approach business and social and sexual situations from a place of apology instead of a place of confidence. I'm sorry that my hair is frizzy. I'm sorry that I look like I'm 10 pounds overweight. You know, we don't say the words, but that's how our body language, that's how our, you know, our kind of psyche approaches the world. And just understanding that if you walk into a room and not care what you can get from people, then you will receive so much more. And, you know, we're afraid of rejection, and it's particularly when we're older, because we think that our package is not what's out there. It's not the pretty bow anymore. But when you really walk into the room just interested in what's going on around you, you will find that people are interested in you.
Let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of your book. Now, this might be a kind of an interesting time to do that. The way you structured your book, you said that it was when we were talking prior to the show, you were saying that you've structured it along your curriculum for your courses that you teach.
Yes.
And give us a little bit of a walkthrough as far as some of the things that are in there and how you've done that.
Sure. Well, my coaching business is under the banner of Stiletto University. And the reason I call it Stiletto is because for women, stilettos are that's the first thing we do as a little kid. Put your feet in your mom's shoes and all of a sudden you're a woman, you know, her heels. And stilettos have always been kind of an image of power for women. But it's really the mentality. So it doesn't matter if you wear flats or you wear sky-high shoes. It's the idea that you can walk into the room confident and being who you are. So the book, under Stiletto U, I have a 9-week coaching program. It's individualized to whatever your, I hate to say issues because that sounds so whatever. But whatever you want to do, improve parts of your lives from a central point of view, I'm about building feminine confidence, not the confidence that helps you achieve and climb up the corporate ladder, but the one that once you leave the boardroom, you can still be confident and sexy in yourself. So the Power of Wow is my curriculum that I use to teach. And it's broken up into three units, individual wow, social wow, and sexual wow. And inside each unit are different. It's meant to, if you wanted to do it in 9 weeks straight, there's a lesson every day. And they're short little lectures, literally, that are a paragraph and a half long. And then really user-friendly exercises and assignments for that day to help you begin to unearth who you are at your core. So in the individual sensuality or individual wow section, you're going to start out by getting back in touch with your sensual world, learning to live through your five senses. And then we're going to take that information that you've developed and identifying your sensory preferences to figure out how to make you look the way you want to look, just all your individual things to make you who you are. And I have five sensual signatures in there that you can go through that are based on who you are. Not, you know, if you wear this kind of clothing, you know, you're going to be fabulous and sexy. It's not about the high heels and the stockings and all that. It's what makes you feel comfortable. If you're an earth woman, be the best earth woman that you can, the sexiest, hottest earth woman you can. If you're a fashionista, be the best sexiest fashionista you can. It's all about who you are. Then you step into the social wow and how to really take the knowledge of who you are at your core and work it on a social level. It teaches you how to flirt. There's a how to sell yourself, which is an acronym for smiling, eye talk, listening, and laughing. And if you incorporate those things into your social climate, your social interactions, how amazing you're going to see the way people react to you. And then it goes into the third unit of sexual wow. How to become the most confident, sexy woman that you can be on your own terms, in your own way, wearing your own unique brand of sexy, because my sexy is different from Deborah's sexy, which is different from her best girlfriend's sexy. But they're all sexy. See, we try to be one size fits all, and that's where we get messed up, because you know what? I'm not about bustiers and high heels and, you know, and so then I can't be sexy. No, it's about finding who you are and your brand of sexy and working that. So each unit builds on the next. But what's lovely about it, let's say if you're feeling inadequate in the bedroom, you can go right to this sexual wow and really figure out things about yourself and how you look at sex and how you respond to sex and your thoughts about sex. Because it is an inside-out makeover. It's not just you do these three things and you're going to be sexy and walk out the door. If you take the program, I guarantee you it will change the way you see yourself. It will change the way you interact in life, in work, the way you love, the way you make love. So it's really exciting. I have case studies from students that have used the program so that you can see how it they interacted with the program. They give you tips about how to use it, what worked for them, what didn't work for them, and how they changed it up so it did. So it's very user-friendly, and it has really changed women's lives. I've had women who have been sexually abused go through the program and really change the way they saw, get rid of the anger. And it's interesting, that's sensuality part, the part where they're getting back in touch with their sensual world, was the part that really saved them, because that was the part that brought joy back into their lives. So that kind of breaks it up. There are a few little tests and quizzes along the way, but it's really going to make you think about yourself and how you were raised and the points of view that you were raised with. Are they genuinely yours? Are they some that you're just living with because that's what you should do? And so I'm really excited about it. It's been getting great feedback. I get emails every day from women that are starting it, in the middle of it. So it's a joy, and I'm so happy that I'm able to present it in this way. And it is available on Kindle as well.
I was interested when I was looking at the book and I was reading the back cover, some of the quotes from people about the book, and there was one there from the author of Widows Wear Stilettos, and as a matter of fact, she's done the show. We've had her on our show. Pardon me?
I said that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It was very interesting, a very very interesting show, and so I was immediately drawn to the fact that. Boy, I got stilettos all over my life.
Come on, Pete. You know you love it.
No, I'm not complaining. But I find it interesting that that there are so many different types of ladies, women, that are all interested in what you do and for their own reasons, and there is no ranking or any kind of upper echelon, lower echelon, whatever it might be. They can all find something for themselves in your work.
Yeah, it's really true. And what I think why it resonates so well with women is that it's not asking them to play another role, because we play so many roles as women. You know, we're wives, we're mothers, we're girlfriends, we're employees, we're employers, we're nurses, chauffeurs, whatever. And this isn't asking them to put on another hat to be sexy and confident. What this is actually doing is something a little bit harder, but much more rewarding, is to take off all the hats and to learn about the woman underneath. And to grow to love that woman just as she is. And once that is accomplished, the world just opens up. And what I love about the Power of Wow is that it gives you exact steps on how to do just that. Because everybody tells me if you're confident, your whole life will change, the world will change. And it is true. But very few people really are able to tell you how to accomplish that. And the women that I worked with through my coaching were the ones that put the power into this book, because they have really gone through it and worked it all out and thrown up the things that didn't work and kept adding things that worked better and really worked it out. So the book, it really is going to do what it promises, is teach you how to be marvelous at who you are, not who you want to be, but who you are.
I would think that another thing that helps a person gain their confidence in its greatest blossoms, you know, biggest form ever, is to actually share the story, share your own story with someone else in that whole benevolence thing that we were talking about a minute ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think what you just said about, you know, the people that have shared their story in your book and they share in your community on Facebook, or they, you know, they get their own wow from you know, re-engaging their senses, and then they explain that to someone else who gets transformed because of it. I think that whole thing about sharing forth is really important in this, and almost making a movement out of this, you know, like get back to the real you and
yeah.
then walk it forward, you know, go forth and multiply.
Well, exactly. And what I've encouraged women to do is to develop and start their own study groups, so to speak. Of take the Power of Wow and really, you again, it goes back to women making you good at who you are. And, you know, women are so important to us in that way, because I tell women all the time, when you meet somebody, a woman that you're attracted to, and I'm not talking in a sexual sense, I'm talking about there's something about this woman that you are drawn to. There's two things you want to look for. One, really, what is it that you're drawn to? Because that's a part of yourself that you have within you that you have not brought to the surface. That is something that it's that energy that like attracts like, you know, part of yourself that is wanting to come out but has not yet come out for whatever reason. And the
right.
second thing to look at is how you react to it. If you are someone who reacts to that attraction with, like, wow, she is amazing, I love the way she does this, what is she doing that I might be able to incorporate into my whatever? Or you're the type that is hating that, you know, she's got to be a biatch, she's got to be this, she can't, you know, you're picking her apart. That tells you a lot about who you are. And not in a bad way, but more in a telling way. So if you are reacting with negativity, you need to look at that, look at it why, and how you can turn that around so that you are able to be who you want to be and who you need to be, and not be envious or upset when somebody else is owning it there, when it's just a matter of you not recognizing and owning it within yourself.
Do you, there's, I find this interesting all the way around, what you do and what some of the other people that we've had, I've had on the show recently. I seem to have been going through, and it probably is the fact that they're all coming from the same publishing house. But there seems to be a certain trend in some of the guests that I've had lately on the show. And number one, there's women. Number two, it's about rediscovery of some sort. Number three, they're always saying the theme seems to be taking back whatever, going back and finding what you were, whatever. There's always seems to be some kind of a rediscovery kind of a thing going on, and I'm wondering. This is just me wondering, and you probably tell me I'm way off in left field somewhere. But with all this stuff that's in the news about women and women's rights and women not being able to do this and that and women being told what to do and what they can and can't do, I'm thinking that there's starting to have a second women's movement here. And part of what you're talking about and some of the things that you're teaching will help them become successful in that movement.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting thought. I never really thought about that, you know, this kind of second feminist wave type thing coming through. I think part of it is, for me, it's just much more organic and less political. You know, women, from the day we are born, we are taught to be somebody else's version of who we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are the good girl. I have yet to find anybody that's been raised to be a bad girl. But
Daddy's
we,
good
you know,
little girl.
Yes, we are raised to be good girls.
I've got a daddy's good little girl. I mean, my daughter is a daddy's good little girl, you know?
And I'm a daddy's good little girl. And you know, we're just constantly, the hats is something that I always come back to, just piled on and piled on. And we're given, not told what we're supposed to do, what we can do. It's always about what we can't do. Good girls don't do this. They can't do this. They shouldn't do this. And so when we grow up and we begin to have our own thoughts and opinions about who we are, it's always shut down. And you could, by that time, the media is blaring at us. You know, we're supposed to be this. We're supposed to look like that. And we're supposed to wear this. And so I think when we get to, particularly women in your 40s, you spent so much time getting your family together, then raising your family. And by the time you get into your 40s, well, first you're just, I call you a wow woman, a worn out woman. but you're also, you're really questioning, well, who am I? And it takes us a long time. And it takes us a lot of courage to discover who we are, because our most of our discovery comes when we're about to be discarded. You know what I'm saying? When people are telling us that we are no longer vibrant and useful and luscious and whatever. So we're coming into our own, and yet we're still fighting the stereotypes of who we are. So I think, you know, part of the beauty I've found, Deborah, and I'd be curious to know what you say, of turning 50 is just that I don't give a damn thing that comes along with it. I think this probably is a march of a movement saying, you know, I want to be who I want to be.
Yeah, and it's important. That's why I'm saying I'm loving everything that you have put together. I love this because, you know, the part of that wow is in empowerment, you know. and when I turned 50, matter of fact, when we started doing this show, we started the Boomer and the Babe as a brand in reaction to a 30-something-year-old woman who was very disrespectful to mine and Pete's place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just, we were furious at the fact that we could be disregarded, disrespected, irrelevant to her or whatever, to the point that we changed our business name. Literally, the same day that this happened, we changed our business name that day. We changed our business, our radio show was called Business Talk with Peters and Brown, and we changed it to the Boomer and the Babe Show. And we decided to stand defiantly for the rest of time in our power as a vibrant man and a vibrant woman of a certain age for the rest of our lives. And we said, you know, at 50, you're just getting started, has been our mantra all along from the very
time
we changed our thing. See what I'm saying? So, you know, for you to do the work you're doing and for us to do the work we're doing, we are saying from the moment you decide that, you know, I have got a lot of things to offer. I have got a lot of things going for me. There are things that I can improve, but it's my choice, not because somebody else has said I have to. And, yes, you can be in all ways, shapes, and forms as confident and sexy as it is humanly possible to be at any age, any physical, you know, whatever your physical ailments. And, you know, I wrote down a minute ago when we were talking, I wrote Paula Deen. You know, Paula Deen is an amazing-looking person to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is
gorgeous.
Yes, she's gorgeous. And she's not a Barbie doll by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
There's any number of things that you could point to that are, you know, that are not that, you know, the ideal female form. But she is confident. She is sexy. She is interesting. She is wealthy. You know, she is bright. You know what I'm talking about? Like shining. She has a shine about her.
She glows.
Exactly. And now she's dealing with the diabetes issue, and so she's got to change some things. But she's still that core, you know, and she did not start that way. She came from, you know, other things in her life that were not lovely. My point is, you get to decide. At 50, you're just getting started.
Exactly.
At 60, you're just getting started. So, you know, in terms of, you know, how I feel about it, every day is a new day to take it on. You know, it's like, oh, cool, you know. Now, does that mean some days I don't wake up and go, oh, my God, I got 40 more years of this? Are you kidding? You know?
No, I understand. It's like when you wake up and it's like, who did I box last night to wake up if my body is feeling like this? But you're so correct. It is a choice. It is changing the way that you look at yourself and your interaction with the world. If you want to be old and irrelevant, that's exactly what you will be. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 and feeling that way or you're 70 and feeling that way. But
that's
we are juicy women. And we have that power to be all through our lives. And it's so interesting. I just did a workshop about 2 weeks ago with a bunch of women called What is Sexy? And they were all 70 plus. And one of the things that I was saying is, you know, again, your sexual shelf life is longer. People are having sex into their 70s and 80s, you know. And you want to be a good lover at our age. Part of what it is, it's not about tricks and, you know, and all that stuff anymore. It's about staying flexible. You know, yoga becomes your best friend, and not just so you can do a whole pretzel, but just that you are flexible and limber, and recognizing that how you define sex may change because you've grown up defining sex as intercourse. You take the power back and define it the way you want to define it, what works for you and your relationship. You become sexy and juicy and relevant again. But you're absolutely right, Deborah. It's your choice. And once you realize that it's in your hands and it has nothing to do with the body that you're in or the way it looks at this age versus that way. And that's another thing that we do. We're constantly comparing ourselves with our 25-year-old self or our 30-year-old self or our 40-year-old self or now our daughters and granddaughters or whatever, instead of just looking in the mirror, seeing what there is to see now and finding the beauty in that.
Well, I will tell you, you're exactly right. And I am a perfect example of someone that has had to make that choice and just say, I just don't care what other people think. You know, I have to do what I have to do because we decided as part of our brand that our faces are out there. You know, you go on any of our websites. You know, we did have a professional take that photograph of us, which I love. And, you know, we still look like that, so that's good.
But right.
It's, you know, it's about a six-year-old or four-year-old picture, I guess.
Right.
Three or four years old. You know, the last time I did anything in the public eye, I actually did television. I'd done video and so forth, you know, 20 years ago.
Sure.
And then we came forward and we're thinking, oh, my God, our pictures are going to be on everything. And we were doing a TV show on Fox Channel 10 for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And I kept thinking, I can't do this anymore. I've got a little more neck, you know.
Right,
My eyes.
And then
whatever.
You got the whole high-definition TV thing going.
Oh, my gosh. And it's like, oh, please. But then, you know what, I thought, but I also have a lot to say. I have my wisdom that we talked about.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
About 20 minutes ago, you said something about wisdom of self, and I wrote that down. And that charisma and that charm, and you know what? That's what I'm living on. I'm living on wisdom, charisma, and charm because...
There you go.
You know, that's what I've got. Although, I have to say, you know, not to be self-deprecating to the point of ridiculous, but I know that I'm an attractive person. You know, there's no
right.
question about it.
Right.
But you know what? I'm going to be an attractive person in 10 years, and in 20 years, and in 30
exactly.
years, because I decided that.
And you know what, if I can give, because there are a lot of people out there that you know through your coaching or whatever, they don't recognize what is amazing about them. And what I tell my clients all the time is, you know what, people are regularly gifting you with compliments and telling you what's amazing about you, yourself. But what you do is either because you're too insecure or they must want something or you're too modest, you shoot down compliments. You know, and that's such an important, people gift you all the time. They're giving you something all the time that's telling you, you know what, you have great legs. Well, you know what, at 54, I still have great legs. I'm going to show my legs. Does that mean I need to wear a mini skirt up to my crotch? No. But it doesn't mean, that means I'm wearing a lot more skirts than pants because I still have great legs, so that makes me feel good. So I'm embracing what is attractive and lovely about me, instead of hiding,
right.
instead of worrying about the cellulite or the dimples that I wish for all my life that have showed up on my behind instead of the cheeks. Lesson to self, be, you know, clear about what you want, where you want it.
Yeah, you didn't ask for the dimples in the right
exactly. I didn't
you, know, you weren't specific.
With the cheeks. Exactly.
Lori, from a male point of view, for some of those reasons, I gave up Speedos a long time ago.
There you go. But you know what I'm saying? It's like we still have things that you may have lovely shoulders. You know, you may have whatever it is. And with the right bra, you can still have a great rack, whatever it is. Embrace those and allow people to make you feel good just by being nice. And make sure that you return the compliments to people because you're doing the same for them. You're telling them what is still beautiful and vibrant about them, and so that they can use that information to continue to walk tall out in the world.
Absolutely. I know that we are getting almost down to the end here, and it has
out
been
of
a
the
fantastic,
short rows. Absolutely.
Fantastic conversation. I just want one quick pass at the something you said when we were talking about your two-minute movie, and you said that fiction, in your opinion, is some of the best self-help opportunity
mm-hmm.
out there, and I totally agree with you. And I am going to be basically hosting a Boomer fiction series. And, you know, just I'm going to be inviting lots of authors to contribute to it, all standalone books, not an anthology. And
mm-hmm.
I just believe that we have such an opportunity to share some of these points, to have some, you know, strong, sexy women who have great legs at 55 and, you know, they realize that, this, you know what I'm saying, and put that in that fiction so that the woman who reads that book later goes, you know, that's me.
Exactly.
How did she know that?
Well, it's interesting because I have a three-book series coming out next year with Simon & Schuster under a different name, Eden Davis. It's erotica, and it's for women 50 and above, women who have a wisdom about sex and a relationship with sex and aren't trying to be the sorority freak, but want to stay sexy and juicy. And I have a book out now that's under my name that's called Can't Help the Way That I Feel, and it's an erotic anthology for grown women. This one is 40 and up. But but they're all about women who have, and the stories all look at sex from a different perspective, but from a real perspective and questions that we have. Fiction, we're more prone to look at a book and say, oh, I see myself, I see my issue. Oh, God, he's cheating on, you know, her, like my husband, she, whatever, than to be in the self-help aisle looking, he's not into you, or how to deal with infidelity or things like that.
I've had my fill of Dr. Phil, you know.
Exactly. You know, so we don't want it to be in our faces so strongly. And so
right.
That's what I know when I write fiction, that's my point of view. I am writing for women who want a good story, a good beach read, but want some, I call it carrot cake. The nutrition isn't sweetness. that are really looking for how to be better versions of their already amazing selves.
Absolutely. Well, I commend all of what you're doing. I love everything you're doing, and congratulations on all of your success in helping people with that kind of, I mean, you're just, you know, it's that benevolence, it's that wisdom, and you're putting it out there in various forms for people to say, okay, this is what I need right this minute. And then guess what? They get to have the rest of their lives be better, not just
exactly.
a few minutes, but the rest
exactly.
of time. Because we've got to carry this forward, you know, like I say, I'm 59, I'll be 59, which I can't believe. But, you know, I also hope that I'm 69 and 79 and 89, and I want the book that you've got to be something that I flip back into and go, oh, that's right. You know, I've got a great smile and I can still be that
exactly.
active, interested listener, you know, and have men hang on my every word, which they do.
Exactly.
I can tell you, and Pete can confirm this, if there's a large gathering, I will most of the time have a group of people that I'm talking to, and most of them will be men, and they'll be hanging on every single word.
There
you know?
You
like,
see,
and then what I do is I go looking for their wives, Lori.
We tag
you know,
team it.
It's all whatever works in your relationship. But you know what? It's really important. I mean, this is like a whole other show, but one of the things that I do talk about in the Power Wow is how important it is for married women to still be flirtatious, to still be charming, because it really evens out the power balance. I mean, we are taught to be charming when we're trying to get the man, but we forget that to flirt with not only the man that we have, but to flirt with other men. And there is a whole balance, and we need to talk about what flirting is and what it's not. I'm definitely going to have to come back, you guys, and do another show.
Absolutely. And I can tell you that would be a very fun conversation to have, because I love flirting. And
me
there's
too.
Never anything sexual. It's nothing. There's never anything
no.
sexual about it. But
no.
I can tell you that I get people on the phone with me, even men, who it'll be like an hour, and it's like, you know, I have got to go, you know, and I'm just talking business or whatever, but they love to tell me stuff.
It's absolutely
and why
true.
Is that? It's because I know how to listen.
Because you know how to listen, and that
exactly.
you don't. It's just an amazing thing, and I would love to, you know, come back and talk about those kind of things, because especially for the boomer generation, so many of us have definitely a negative connotation with the word flirting.
Oh, no.
You know, it is something that they see as either cheating or, you know, the hoary girls get, you know, that's what they do, whatever. And it is the way that you keep that vibrant feminine juice alive.
Ah,
and
you just said the word I was going to say. It's vibrance. It's the vibrance
yes.
quotient. It's the VB, or the VQ, rather. Vibrance
exactly.
quotient.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
It
yes.
is, and that vibrance, he's sexy and sex are part of the feminine confidence that makes you feel, like when you feel sexy, you sit differently, you walk differently, your whole body language is different. And so
that's
that
right.
doesn't mean you feel sexual, it just means you feel confident, you feel good. And flirting is part, and that being that charm, it's that interactive part of a social relationship that helps keep your back tall, helps you, you know, climb into those heels to get out. So it is an important part of women going forward in their sexy cougar years, if you want to use that word. We have to learn to do it and do it well, and understanding that, again, it's your own brand of charm that you're working, not anybody else's. There's no magic, you know, I can't say do this, say this, and you're going to be an automatic charming flirt. No, it's finding your own secret. Are you witty? Are you intellectual? Are you, you know, the cute girl? Are you the serious? It's whatever your brand is, and learning how to work that brand to your best advantage.
That's right. Well, the last thing I'm going to say before Pete signs us off, and he'll ask you for your contact information, of course, but I just want to say that I'm going to have to get my bunions fixed before I can get into my stilettos, because that's just not happening right
now. But you know what? It's all a mentality. As long as you have your stilettos on in your mind, you are hot to trot and ready to go.
I know. I have some great flat shoes.
There you go.
Wow, you ladies, I tell you, it's been fun listening. Well, Laurie, I want to thank you for being a guest today. It's been a very interesting and enjoyable show, and you're just a wonderful guest to have. And we will have to do it again, and we're going to turn it into the Laurie and Deborah show, the Babe and the Babe show. And I'll sign you on and I'll sign you off, and you guys just go at it.
It'd be
a great listen. Thanks again, and before you go, please tell us anything you want to tell us about how people can get in touch with you, your programs, find your book. The time's yours to do some shameless self-promoting.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you can visit my website at www.stilettou.com, and that's stiletto, STILETTOU, as the letter U.com. You can follow me on Twitter at stilettou. You can reach me at stilettou at yahoo.com. And I blog for Huffington Post, so visit, if you read Huffington Post, look for some of my blogs. And you can find the book just about anywhere, I hope, but it's always online at Amazon. It is also in a Kindle version, but there are areas that you can write in it. So if you're that type of person, you want the book in your hand, it's there. All I can tell you is I put my heart and my love of trying to make women better at who they are, because I had some lovely women in my life that did that for me. And I think the power of WOW, a guide to unleashing the confident, sexy you, will do the same for you. So please be in contact. If you register with Stiletto U, I often do open professor's hours that you can just call in and ask questions and get some advice. If you're interested in coaching, you can reach me there as well. So Pete and Deborah, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I do hope to speak with you soon.
And
you
will
be
hearing, and you will be hearing from us, and we want to talk. We'll have to talk to you also about maybe making a submission to our Boomer Experience Speaks online magazine, which soon will be going up on the Apple newsstand, Deborah.
Yeah, it's worth it.
And so we'd like to talk to you about making a submission there also, and we hook the show up, and we hook your websites up to that as well. So we try to help everybody out and promote people as much as we can in that aspect of what we do as well. So thanks again for being with us, and we'll be getting in touch with you probably through the good people at Kalia's Press very shortly.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And you've been listening to the Boomer and the Babe show here on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. And today we brought definitely good conversation and interesting conversation with sensuality coach Laurie Bryant-Woolridge, author of The Power of WOW, A Guide to Unleashing the Confident, Sexy You. Find it anywhere on Amazon. You could Google her. Check out her sites on Twitter and Facebook. Just Google The Power of WOW or Google Laurie Bryant Woolridge, and I'm sure you'll be able to find her. Take a look at the book, buy the book, and please go ahead and enjoy making yourself a more powerful you. This has been the Boom and the Babe show on Blog Talk Radio. As I said, we'll be back again Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 on the West Coast, and we look forward to seeing you. Remember that make the second half of your life the best half of your life. Have a great day and a great weekend, everybody, and we'll be talking to you again very soon. Take care now. Listening.
to the Boomer and the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversations to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerandthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.